Morning, everyone. We're glad you could join us today at our online service at Mosvale Community Church. It's a joy and honour to serve you week in, week out here at the church. We trust that you're gaining something and being blessed by the worship and by the word that you're hearing on a week-to-week basis. Today, I feel very called to this word. It's a word that's very important to me. It's a word that kind of sets us apart a little bit in the midst of all the trials and testing that's going on in our world today. And the topic matter for today is actually the goodness of God. And I want to focus on that for the next little while as we go through the Word of God together. But if you have your Bible with you today, why don't you open that at James chapter 1, and we're going to read the verses in this particular chapter. James chapter 1, starting at verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plants. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. And we thank God for his beautiful word today. Let's look at this together this morning in verse 17. I want to get right down towards the end. In verse 17, James is getting ready to talk about the goodness of God. But before he does, he actually issues a warning in verse 16. And James says, hey, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. That word deceived means to be led astray. Now, at the start of this chapter, James is talking about all kinds of trials and temptations. But as he moves from talking about trials and temptations, he reminds us not to let the circumstances, let's hear this, or the trials and temptations of this life cause us to be deceived or led astray, or to actually cause us to question God's goodness. Now, we understand there are times when you and I will experience temptation, whether it's the temptation to sin, or the temptation to give in, or the temptation to give up, because as we know, apathy and not doing the right thing is in itself the wrong thing, and you and I may start coming to God and be saying things to God like, God, well, if you are good, if you are good, if you love me, Lord, if your intentions towards me are good, why do I keep on struggling with this battle? Lord, why don't you just step in and take this from me? Why, Lord, must I keep fighting against this? And so the word of God says, do not be deceived. Hey, Do not be deceived. Do not be led astray. Don't let that temptation fool you into thinking somehow that God, our good God, is not good. You see, there's going to be times when we are going to experience trials. We understand that. And also, many of our hearts will be broken and have been broken, will experience a form of heartbreak. And on those occasions, we're going to look deep inside of ourselves. We're going to look at that heart that is broken, and perhaps we're going to begin to question God. You see, it's when we focus on our circumstances and allow them to lead us astray that we actually begin to say things like, you know, if you're good, God, and God, if you love me, and Lord, really, if really and honestly your intentions towards me are good, then why am I having to struggle so much? And why, Lord, is my heart devastated and broken? How can I possibly find your goodness and see your hand of blessing in all these circumstances? Listen, the word of God clearly says, do not be deceived. Do not let the circumstances you're in cause you to question the goodness of God. And so as James begins to talk to us about not being deceived, he now begins to give us some reasons that we can truly know that our God is a good God. And I want you to notice with me today several reasons from this passage of Scripture that our God is good. Can you say, God is good? God is good. The first reason that we can know that God is good is because God's gifts are good gifts. Hallelujah. How do I know? I'm asking myself, how do I know that God is good? Because His gifts to me personally are good. Look again in verse 17, James writes, and we'll repeat this a few times, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And so according to Scripture, everything good, not some things, everything good in this world is from God. Amen. If it comes from God, it is good. If it's not good, it doesn't come from God. Again, look at the verse. Look at the word gift in verse 17. The King James Version says it this way. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, in that verse, it says gift twice, and it's the same word in the English language, but in the Greek language, it's two separate words. The first word is dosis. That is the act of giving, and dorema, that is the gift itself. So they both have a different meaning to express about the gifts that God gives to you and I. The first word, gift, every good gift, the word gift, doses, stresses the action of giving. The action of giving. In other words, God's intention, God's motivation, His action in giving to you and I, it's always good. He can't help Himself. He lavishes His goodness on us. That's how God operates. Now we understand, do we not, that that's not really true for human beings, is it? Because you and I, we can go out and give someone a gift and yet not really have a good motivation for giving that particular gift to them. Now, we do this at Christmas or other occasions such as birthdays or many other celebrations. It goes like this. They buy one, so you buy them one. And it goes on and on and on. Possibly out of some form of obligation, or because you know that they're going to give you a gift at some point in life too. So our motivation, we could say, is really, on this occasion, not that pure. It's maybe not even that we don't appreciate that person all that much, but often we are giving gifts because it's traditional, or because it's expected. And for some, the challenge of finding the absolute perfect gift absolutely sucks all the joy out of it, because we're panicking and stressing and we're thinking, hey, will they like it? Have I got them the right thing? Is it the right size? Shall I give them the receipt with it? Should I just have given them cash or maybe even a gift voucher? Oh, the act of giving can be so stressful for so many, and we get so caught up in it and we worry ourselves to death regarding these things. But honestly, that's the way it feels for us sometimes. But that is never, ever, ever the way it works with God. Because God's motivation, hallelujah, God's motivation for giving to us always flows directly out of His love for you and I. Every single good gift, the act of giving, and then God's word says, and every perfect gift, dorema, the second word for gift, focuses on the thing now that is given. And the Bible says that every perfect gift is from above. Now, perfect is the Greek word teleon. And this word is used in Scripture to mean acceptable and complete. In Ephesians, it means fully grown and matured. Verse 4 of our passage today and other Bible versions says perfect work, mature and complete. So we could say it this way: when God gives you the completed gift, it will always be good. Hallelujah and praise God. But here's the thing. Because sometimes we don't see the goodness of God in our lives because we don't yet see the completed gift. We're just seeing a bit part of it, or we're just seeing a little part of what it might look like. Scripture goes on to say regarding that, but you know that the testing of your faith, hallelujah, produces what? Perseverance, produces patience. So let it finish its work that you may be what? Mature and complete, not lacking anything at all. So when we wonder, and we do, God, how can all of this be good? Well, church, rest assured that God's word says every perfect, every completed gift is from above. And it is a good gift because it comes directly from a God who is good. Amen. And praise God. Now in Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11, Jesus here is speaking to his disciples and he assures them that God gives, yes he does, he gives his people good gifts. Look at these scriptures. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So how do I know? How do I know that God is good? Well, I know he's good because his gifts are good. That is when by faith, right now, we look not at our circumstances, our feelings, but we look to the word of God, his son. We look at his son. We look at God's intentions. We look at God's character. And by faith, we say, God, I know that you are good. And ultimately, that all your gifts for me are good. We can say these words, which are recorded in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know, do you? Do you really? And we know. Say that, and we know. Now say, and I know. And we know that in all things, not some things, that God works for the good of those who love him, praise the Lord. Those who have been called according to his purpose. I love those two words, we know, because the Bible says it, and we know. Now, it does not say we feel, because we don't always feel that way. And it doesn't say, and it appears that all things work together for good, because it doesn't always appear that way. But by faith, hallelujah, in the word of God, we can stand before each other, and I can say, and I know. And I know, really convinced that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I know. Hallelujah. Yes, I do. I know that God, my God, is good today. And I know, therefore, if he's good today, he's good every day. Praise the Lord. and hallelujah, he's good all the time, and every good gift he has is sent down from the Father of heavenly lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning, to bless the people of God. But understand this, as much as that is great, there's a second reason in here why God is good. You believe he's good? Well, say it. Say, God, you're good. God, you're so good. Listen, we can know this. We can know God is good because God's character is absolutely changeless. Absolutely changeless. Verse 17 again, I'll say it one more time. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now, we understand we have dozens, maybe hundreds of names for God, but perhaps one of the more or less used or overlooked is this one right here, the Father of heavenly lights. You see, understand this, and this is the majesty of God right here being presented to us in Scripture. He called every single star in the entire universe into being. Now, hey, I'm a simple guy, and I don't know much about the galaxies or constellations or the planets or the moons and stars or orbits or all that stuff regarding astronomy, and that's partly because it's so incredible. It's so wonderful, incredible, and majestic when you look up, when you look up and when you consider the mighty works of his hands. We cannot fathom it. We cannot take it in. It is too beautiful. It's too glorious, too wonderful. We cannot comprehend the greatness of God and the fact he wrote the physical laws of the universe that keep those stars on course, and yet he, the Father of heavenly light, knows the number of every hair on your head today. Hallelujah. And praise God. So, we're understanding right now that our God is good and that he gives good gifts to his children. I want to add this. Every single, you know, I was thinking this morning, looking around. Every spectacular sunrise or sunset is an offering to you and I of God's love and affection. It is a daily reminder that our God is still seated in heavenly places, interceding for you and I in the midst of chaos and travesty right now in our world. He is still seated on his heavenly throne. And so he created for you and I. He created the stars and the moon to light the sky at night. In the same way, he will shine his hope by offering his presence anytime and everywhere that we need it. But especially on our darkest days of depression, on our lowest days of hopelessness, we can stand in awe of God. We can stand in awe of a great God, and we can sing, our God is an awesome God, and we can recognize his goodness just by looking around about us, by understanding and appreciating and rejoicing in his creation, that we serve the Father of heavenly lights, who in him is no shadow of shifting or turning. So today we can stand where we are and we can praise him and thank him by just saying, God, you are so, so good. And even though the stars change in their brightness, our God, our God never changes. He never varies. Let's look at else what God's word says about this Father of lights. The Bible says there's no shadow of turning with him. You know, as bright as the moon is, there are times that it turns to its dark side. Or it turns its dark side to us. As brilliant as the sun shines, so often it is hidden by the clouds. In other words, it's in the shadows. But there is no shadow of turning with our Father. He does not change. Thomas Chisholm, the hymn writer, said it this way: great is your faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. I say it again with great joy, our good God never changes. But here's the thing, we change all the time. At the start of 2020, many people were posting on social media photographs of themselves from 10 years ago and how they looked. Kids loved it. Look how much I've grown. Remember when I had no hair or no front teeth? Adults hate it. Remember when I had hair and I had my front teeth? You remember those days? Yes, we do. The fact of the matter is, dearly beloved, we are changing and we are going to change. But the God we serve doesn't change. The Bible says there is no variation or shadow or turning with Him. Understand this, our God is not evolving, He is not becoming wiser, because our God already knows absolutely everything that's going on. We as a church have sought God this year. Hey, we've sought God. We had inspired ideas, great plans. Hey, as the year rolled on, my cases were packed to go to Ghana. I started my course of malaria tablets. Then out of nowhere, it seemed, the worldwide lockdown came into place. Now hear this. God didn't say at any point, wow, I never saw that one coming. Wow, that caught me off guard. I was surprised that happened today. Understand this, He is God and nothing will ever catch Him off guard or nothing will ever surprise Him, for He is the all-knowing God. Hey, closer to home, my God knows my choices even before I made them, and yet He has given me the freedom to choose. Why does He do that? Well, or how does He do that? Well, He is God. He changes not, and He can do exactly what He wants to do. He can stop me if He wants, and He can say, Hugh, pause, and He can say, Hugh, not yet. He can do all these things because He is sovereign, and He is God, and He is good. But here's a word that has come up in this sermon for you today. And I think it's a great word, so say it after me. Immutable. Immutable. That is unchanging over time or unable to be changed. And so the immutability of God is an attribute that God is unchanging in His character, in His will, and His covenant promises. God's immutability defines all of other God's attributes. God is immutably wise, merciful, good, and gracious. Understand this. God never differs from Himself. He is unchanging and unchangeable. He says so in His Word. He does not change. And here's some scriptures for us today that back all these things up. In John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isaiah 40 verse 28, do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not human that He should lie, not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? The psalmist steps in Psalm 119 verse 89. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Isaiah 40 verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever and ever. We've just heard this. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. I am the Lord. I do not change. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ, yes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Revelation 23 verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Hey, hear this today, church. God could never be any more holy than He was or is or always will be, because His holiness is perfect. His power can never be increased, neither can it be diminished, because it is perfect power. He is changeless in his character. And that means if our God has ever been good, then he will always be good. His character is changeless. And so when life is not good, and when life is absolutely heartbreakingly awful, don't ever be led to question God's goodness or God's love or God's wonderful intentions towards you. He is good, and he is good every day, and he is good all the time. So we can know, yes, we can know that God is good because his gifts are good. And we can know that God is good because his character is changeless. But I want you to think about one more reason today why God is good. In verse 18, it tells us we can know that God is good because his salvation is sure. Hallelujah. His salvation is sure. Verse 18, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits in all he created. The Message version says it this way. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures. Now, this isn't talking about our physical birth, although we acknowledge and celebrate each precious life that, yes, we are gifted with today. Hey, I have a beautiful, beautiful little granddaughter. She is precious and special, a perfect example of just that. And I have loved her from day one. I haven't got to see much of her over the last 3 months because of COVID-19. But hey, at times I feel sorry for all the other grandparents because, well, she is just beyond perfect in my eyes. I'm just jesting with you there. And Papa boasting aside, here James points to the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. The ultimate expression, the highest example of God's goodness towards you and I. Salvation through Christ is the greatest, greatest example. That is the forever example of God's goodness towards you and I. And listen, if God never did anything for us after he died on the cross, if he chose never to do anything for you after he saved you, that would be enough to fully and forever prove to you and I that our God is good. Scripture says his salvation is sure because this salvation for you and I is of his own will. Scripture again, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Understand with me today, nothing forced God to give us salvation through his son. He wasn't sitting somewhere feeling sad and lonely and blue. He wasn't bored with his life. He wasn't lacking in anything, but simply out of his own good pleasure, out of his own desire to be good, out of his own desire to be gracious, out of his own heart of empathy and compassion for every single lost soul, out of his own love, he chose to save sinners. And so he sent salvation. He sent Jesus to come amongst us and die a cruel death on the cross. And we can rejoice, oh, in the goodness of God today, that we now have a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's turned us away from our wicked lifestyles and given us another chance to live again. He has given us what's called the abundant life, the full life. We're not meant to sit at home becoming stale. We're not meant to sit at home becoming stagnant. We have a reason today to rejoice, a reason to rejoice and be glad in the fact that we have been saved by God, because God gave us Jesus, and our lives from the moment we said yes to Jesus should and must never ever be the same. We must kick on and kick in into the things that God has planned for us, laid out for us since before the foundations of the world began. He'd a plan and a purpose for your life. That's how good he is, regardless of all the junk, regardless of all the wrong decisions, regardless of all our failures and mistakes, He, in His goodness, He still gave His Jesus, sent Jesus to lay down His life for you and I, that we might be called sons and daughters of God and not live at a low level in this world, but rise up to be all we can be in Christ Jesus. Oh yes, Lord, we thank You. We rejoice that we are saved, and we are saved by grace today. Don't take it for granted. Rejoice in the goodness of God that you're a child of the King today, and begin to live like it. Don't live with your face down. Again, as we've heard, looking at the circumstances and the trials and the tragedy and the travesty, we're not ignorant of those things, but God's called us to focus on the life we're called to live as a son and daughter of the living God. So live that way. Because if we don't, let me tell you, sin comes in. Sin comes in. And what does sin do? Sin brings forth death, but God brings us out into eternal life. He chooses to bring us forth. Notice also that this sure salvation comes where? Directly it comes by the word of truth. And here James is talking about the gospel message. He is talking, hallelujah, he is talking about the saving message. I like the saving message. I like the fact I'm saved today. I like the fact I may have been in a horrible pit for a time in my life. It didn't last too long, but I'm so glad that He stepped down into this dark world, and with an outstretched hand, He plucked me out of that horrible pit. He put myself and my life on a sure foundation, and as long as I can stand on this sure foundation called Christ, the solid rock, my feet will not stop dancing, my hands will never stop being raised towards God, my life will not begin to become something it was not. We have a purpose to live for Jesus at the fullness, at the best, at the greatest level we can live, and not settle for second best, not settle for living a scrappy life, but understand when He opens your eyes to the potential that's in you and the purpose He's placed before you, you begin to go for it. And some of us maybe have not been going for it because we've been distracted by the world. We've been distracted by family. Be careful there. It's family. We have to be focused and intentionally looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking to Him who has saved us. He is the way forward. He is the life. He is the energy. He is the master. He is the leader. Buy into everything He has for you, and don't become complacent or stale, but run after God like you've never ever ran before. He is good. Hallelujah. He is great. Hallelujah. He will bless you in ways you've not even began to imagine yet. If only we'd open our eyes to the goodness and greatness and majesty of Jesus and see who He is and what He has done, we will not live our life looking over our shoulder at our past life, our past sins, because they are being removed. They have been forgiven. It's another good gift. Another good gift from God. They have been cast into the deepest sea, and now we can stand in His presence before Him as a child of God. James is now talking about that message that saved men and women down through the decades, down through the generations, and he uses in here the words that Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 and 4. For what I received. Have you received? Have you received? Because if you've received, this is what's going to happen. For what I received, I passed on to you as not second importance, as first importance. Here's the message, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. We heard that word, yes. We heard that word. We trusted that word. And by that word, God has brought us forth, has He not, into new life. He has shown us His goodness by bringing you and I forth into salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The fact that God now watch this. This is important that some understand this today. The fact that God requires a second birth proves that our first birth isn't quite good enough. Hello? And now we see that illustrated throughout the entire Old Testament. They are tragic tales of brotherly rivalry that make us wonder, Lord, why did that happen? But here, God is revealing a bigger picture for you and I. It's almost like he's letting us have a glimpse of the completed gift. In Scripture, we see how God rejects the first birth, but receives the second birth. He accepted Abel, the second born, not Cain, the first. He accepted Isaac, the second born, not Ishmael, the firstborn. He accepted Jacob, the second born, and not Esau, the firstborn. He has announced in his word, listen now, that he requires from you and I a second birth, and that he has made a way. Yes, he has. Hallelujah. He's made a way for you and I to receive or experience the second birth. Come with me to John chapter 3. I want you to look in there at verses 3 through 7. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Listen to Jesus speaking here. Jesus replied, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one," there it is, "no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." So how can someone be born again when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. So Jesus answered, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of the of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit." And Jesus speaks and says in verse 7, "You should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again." Hallelujah. You must be born again. Being born again into a religious family or Christian household or being a church attender or watching these services online is not enough. But the second birth for you and I is not so difficult to attain. If we believe, listen to Romans 10 verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And you know what? We can do that right now. We can do that right here. Because maybe you're looking in today and maybe you've got some hurts in your life. And maybe you've had some issues going on in your life. And maybe you knew Jesus at some point in your life, but things have become cold in your relationship with God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've drifted away and living your life as you choose, the way you think you should live your life. But let me tell you, that's not the life God has got planned for you. No, sir. He's called you into adoption. He's called you into sonship, to be a son or daughter of God. You know, people in churches will fail, will come up short. We will say things, hey, I might add, most times unintentionally, most times not to heart, but nevertheless, certain things happen and people think, well, if that's believers or that's Christians, I want nothing to do with that. But that's not the point, because God is good. And God is perfect. And regardless of all our hurts and pains and issues and trials and tests and mistakes and failings, you are loved by God. Nothing can ever change that. Nothing will ever take that away. He loves you unconditionally. He wants to work in your life if you commit your life to Him and choose Jesus and serve Him with all your heart. You'll begin to see significant changes take place in your life. So I just feel compelled right now just to lead us even at this moment in what's commonly known as a sinner's prayer. And it's a type of prayer. And maybe if you're sitting watching this today and you know over the last few weeks you've been sensing a drawing or a wooing by the Holy Spirit. You've been sensing the call of God in your life. Well, you can pray this prayer with me right now. And if you're sitting with your family, I'd encourage every family member, whether you know Jesus or don't, to say this prayer anyway. It's good to be refreshed. It's good to recommit. It's good to help those who've lost their way and strayed from the path. So say these words after me if you're looking in and you really mean this and you want to make a decision to follow Jesus and be born again of water and the Spirit. Say this: God, I confess that I am a sinner. Lord, I'm in need of salvation. Lord, right now, I say and I believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that Jesus rose again. I believe that Jesus is offering me new life. Lord, today, I ask to receive your good gift of salvation. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Lord, I receive your grace. And Lord, I choose from this day to follow you as my Lord and my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, let us know. We'd love to know so we can do what? We can support you. We can help you. We can give you tools to allow you to move forward in your Christian journey with God. But let us know if you said that prayer today. You see, one day his perfect goodness will be demonstrated when all of his creation is transformed at his return. We know, say it one more time, we know that God is good because his salvation is sure. But listen to this as we close today. It's so easy for us to take the gifts that God has given and to forget the God who has given them to us. So easy. So easy for you and I to stop looking to him and start looking at our situations or start looking inside ourselves and forget how good our God is. But when we look at his word, and when we look at his character, and when we look at his Son who loved us and gave himself for us upon the cross, then we know, yes, we know, that our God is a good God, who gives good gifts to his children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can stand before you here and declare the goodness of God. We thank you right now, God, that you are the God who does not change. We thank you are the sovereign Lord who gave us your only begotten Son, Jesus, that we might be saved, that we might be born again, enter into the kingdom of God. We thank you for this church. We even thank you for this world that we've been called to live in. May we as the church continue to make a difference. For those amongst our friends and families who are struggling with life right now, we pray in the name of Jesus. Give them the capacity, the ability in Jesus' name to get their eyes off the issues and the circumstances and get their eyes focused on the goodness of God. We pray blessing over our people today and throughout this week. Cover them, protect them, guard their minds, their hearts, their souls from all evil and all trouble. In Jesus' name we pray.